This is a song for my friends Jared and Gary. They started a podcast and said a theme was necessary. They're just a couple of guys in a band that you know. Some rock star dads who started a show. So here's the next episode.
Welcome to the Rockstar Dad Show right here on Adobe Radio or wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. And Gary, boy, we've had a crazy week.
It has been. We drove down to what we thought was Austin, ended up being an hour and a half past Austin, so we were late. Imagine that.
Yeah.
We played an online concert. It was awesome. First one of those that we've done for a long time.
Absolutely. And then we come back home and I come back to my mess of recording nightmare because I tried to change some stuff out. And here's the lesson that everybody should learn. If anything works, don't ever touch it. Ever. You just leave it. And that's it. I am excited about our guest today because not only is he a rock star, but he's a rock star dad. And has a really cool story about taking his kids around the world, which I cannot wait to talk about. So Brendan James is with us today. What's up, man?
What's up? Thanks for having me. Don't worry. I've had a crazy morning, crazy week too. I'm right there with you. I wouldn't consider these calm, easy times.
Well, no, it's a wacky time indeed. And you and I were just talking before we started the show and you were describing how you handle your mornings, and it's pretty much the same as me. Like, it's like we were supposed to be on this thing at 10 Central Standard Time, so I jumped in the shower at 9:48, you know,
right.
And that's pretty much how, you know, because and it's not that I wasn't up. I was up doing other stuff, you know. I got straightened up the kitchen. I had to talk to the guy doing some work outside, you know, and then but you know, for some reason I feel like I can always make it and I never do.
Yeah. I know that feeling.
Now, tell me just a little, like, I want to know a little bit more about you as a musician. I mean, how did the music bug hit you, and where is that, where was that journey going, and where did it go before family?
Well, I was a late bloomer for sure. I was like senior in high school. I hadn't really ever written a song, didn't know that I could play an instrument. I was like in chorus and stuff like that, but I actually had kind of an intervention moment. A mentor came out of the woodwork in my hometown in Derry, New Hampshire. And, you know, to my last day, I'll give him credit for letting me see the light. He saw something in me and he said, you know, the way you sing, the way you are interested in poetry, There's something there that you might not know about. You should learn an instrument and see if songs come out of you. And I was like, what?
It's so nice to have that in your life. I mean, I have a very similar, again, another similarity with you. I had a theater teacher who was just like, if you don't entertain people, it's going to be a waste. And, you know, having somebody that you respect put that thought in your head and, you know, at least, and it's at least, you know, it just sits there and it starts to grow and grow and grow. And, you know, the world is a better place because that guy said that to you because you get to put this music into the world.
It's crazy. So true. And now as a dad and now, you know, I'm 41 now and I'm just like, I'm actually actively, I look around for kids who might need that from me sometimes. I'm like, you know, 15-year-old, 17-year-old kids. I'm like, what little words of wisdom might I give them that might change their whole trajectory?
I mean,
it's pretty crazy.
You've got two kids now. How old are they?
I have a 4 and a 6-year-old.
Four and six.
And what are their names?
Penny is 6 and Milo is 4.
Ooh, Milo.
That's
a very good name. May I ask why you named him Milo?
Wow, that's a good question. Well, first of all, it's M-Y-L-O, which okay. I kind of love. Just a little twist on it. But do you want the real truth?
It's a loaded question.
Go ahead. Why?
Well, because my dog's named Milo, and all of our friends name their kids Milo because of Milo Ackerman from The Descendants. And I just was wondering, I was just like, oh my God, if this guy loves The Descendants too, like what the fuck? But it doesn't sound like that's anywhere near why your child is named Milo.
Okay, first of all, The Descendants is fucking awesome. Okay, yeah. I'm there with you.
Okay,
I know a little bit about it. My daughter's obsessed. She was Uma for Halloween. So, but what I will say about Milo is that whether I tell him this or not ever, I don't know. But my wife was obsessed with the name Arlo.
Okay,
really loved the name Arlo for months, and I just wasn't vibing on Arlo. I don't know why. Like, I didn't want to every time I looked at my kid to think of Arlo Guthrie. I don't know why. I just was like, I'm a songwriter. It just didn't hit me right. So we were searching for names that were kind of similar, and then we were like, Milo. That's kind of nice. So, and I put the Y in there for whatever reason, because I know there's a lot of dogs and pets named Milo. And I'm like, let me give this kid one leg up to differentiate him from all the Milos that are pets. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
That's, well, anyway. Yeah, that is a thing. Well, and then Penny is such a, that's a name you don't hear a lot anymore. And such a good classic girl name. That's a good one. I like that.
Thanks. I love that name too. I love it.
It's a good one. All right. So let's get to this thing. Let's talk about what was life like? Did you get married first? Were you guys dating and then you're having a kid? How does life go from being musician to having a family?
Well, I like to first say that I had no idea that I was going to meet my wife when I did. I was basically just doing the rock star thing. I was trying hard. I was living in New York City and I had a manager. We were just getting signed to Capitol Records. It was a really big time in my life where I was pretty self-centered. I mean, not in a horrible way, just like, I got to get this shit done. And I met my wife in Charleston on a trip to visit some friends. And I mean, everything changed at that moment. And I saw my kids in her eyes. And it was just like, holy shit, I found the one way sooner than I thought I was going to. Let me now try to navigate just getting signed to a major label and falling in love.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot.
I will probably look back, you know, in that period of my life as one of the most exciting and challenging of my whole time on earth was that like next 5 years was figuring out how to make all that work. And I look back now, I'm so proud of what happened and that I basically ended up prioritizing my love and my wife because I knew I had kids in the picture and she wanted kids and that was my ultimate destiny. I felt it. But damn, was it hard at the time, you know?
Yeah, imagine at that time you're getting pulled in a million different directions. Label saying, hey, you got to go tour, you need to go do this, and you're trying to build a relationship at home at the same time.
Oh my God. It's like, it made me just ask those questions like, why the hell are artists put on the planet that want both? Like, what's the fuck? I mean, why would I be tortured to try to do both so well? You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. It's something that, you know, that I went through first and early on again in our kind of the same thing, actually. I mean, things blew up. We were already signed, but shit blew up like as my daughter was being born. But yeah, I was in a young marriage at the time of us, you know, being gone for 6-8 months at a time or whatever. And I did not prioritize that. So I'm not married to her anymore. So, but we do have two amazing kids, and I did prioritize them. I tried not to miss things and things like that, but, you know, Gary nailed it. I mean, that whole, like when you're first on that label, they're like, you've got to go to this radio station. You've got to be over here. And like, we know we told you were going home on this day, but hey, guess what? You're not, you're going to go over here. And, this station says they'll play your song if you go there and meet people in a kitchen. And you know, it's, it's right. I mean, that's exactly what it is. And so you find yourself, I'm interested, how were your bandmates? I mean, where were they in their lives? Was that a struggle within the band then? Because you were sort of going, guys, I don't know, man, I kind of want to do the family thing.
Well, there enters the beauty of being a solo, more like singer-songwriter, because, yeah. I mean, I had bands, and it wasn't the same thing. I actually always thought about if I was in a real band,
right,
how tricky that dynamic is. I mean, the most successful bands, like, paramount to everything else is, are we on the same page, dude?
Yeah.
Can we get on the same page for a number of years and sort of prioritize this, like put this at the top, and that's how we make it. And I it was hard enough for me as a solo guy to navigate that.
So okay, So you were a solo guy, and so you the whole time and hiring me, and so that had to have been actually worse because you don't even have the other guys to bounce shit off of, or to also like, hey guys, I've had to cancel two things because of my family. Can somebody come up with a wedding or a funeral or some shit that we can some reason we can't go do this? You know,
exactly.
Yeah.
No. I benefited from a lot of camaraderie. I always had bands for my different tours and stuff. But yeah, it was always me. I was always the final word, at least for the project. And that, for better or for worse, I don't know what was easier.
Well, at the end of the day, as you said, being a band is difficult for most people. I mean, I Gary and I are very, very lucky in that we don't have those same struggles as a lot of bands do. But quite frankly, many of those musical groups that we tour with, even on a regular basis, you have either two guys that can't stand two guys, or three guys that can't stand one.
Totally.
And it's a miserable existence.
It's either a couple people can't get along, or there's something that happens in someone's life. It's marriage or kids, and so the group can't stay together long enough because someone gets pulled apart, and then the band usually ends up breaking up before they hit their big chance.
That's what
I think people don't quite understand too about any art or even like professional athlete or something. Like, the amount of focus and sacrifice it takes from the individual to truly be successful is more than you'd ever understand. And then you try to put three or four of those people in the same situation. I mean, it's just like destined to not fail, but be incredibly difficult because the sacrifice on each person is so great.
Yeah.
You know,
and everybody feels like they're sacrificing more, and everybody, and then ego gets involved, and it's
totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's something again, we sort of watch that from afar because we've managed to communicate throughout this thing. But back to you. Let's talk about, music is happening. You're in love or whatever. You're starting to prioritize. So you guys then what? It's like, okay, we're in a position where it's time to be parents. Or was it like, let's just see what happens?
Well, she was amazing. She kind of stood by my side. We moved from New York back to LA to Oakland. We were just trying everything. And meanwhile, I'm building my career. I'm building my following. And it just got to this point where we're like, we're 35. We're 34. We want to have kids. And we don't want to just have them in a music town, to be honest. That wasn't my dream, was to have kids in the middle of Hollywood or New York. I just grew up in a really cool, wholesome place. So we thought of where all the places we've been and where our friends were. And we're like, fuck it. Let's go back to Charleston. Let's raise some kids there. And I have enough of a following where I have a career and I can live where I want. And so, yeah, like 6 years ago, we just said, let's do it in Charleston. And I'm really glad. It was a good decision. It's a good spot so far.
Yeah. So then you guys, you have kids. Your kids are very, very young. And just tell me, I mean, this is the craziest fucking story ever. I mean, you guys sold your house and just decided to take your family around the world?
Yeah, I want to know, like, when the idea happened, how long from the idea, where did the idea come from, how long the idea to it actually happening?
Okay, I would say November of 2017, we were in our kitchen, and the idea crystallized. We ended up getting on the first flight in June of the next year, so like 6 months after we had that crystallizing moment.
Right.
I look back on it now. It's only 2 years ago that we actually left. I honestly am kind of amazed by it too. Like, because now I'm back in life and I'm back in a little bit of a grind with my career. And I'm like, how did we pull that off? Like, I give her a lot of credit. She was like, what the fuck are we doing in this house? Like, it's a little too expensive for us. Like, why are we trying to live in this zip code with this school district? Like, we're just those people now. And I didn't think I married one of those people. I didn't think I was one of those people. She's like, I don't love this house. I'm like, I don't really love this house either. She's like, well, why don't we just sell it? And why don't we do that thing we used to dream about? Just fuck it. Let's just take the kids and go somewhere for a long time. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm like, I'm a musician. I'm a touring guy. I'm like, I'll just go anywhere.
Yeah.
If your wife is down to bring the whole family unit anywhere, then I'm like, let's make this work.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, they were 2 and 4 at that time, right?
One and four.
One, yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. I gotta tell you, this sounds terrible. It sounds, I mean, here's the thing. It only sounds terrible because I didn't do it. Like, we have our friends, the Dolly Rots, who they had a kid. They kept touring. They just take the kid with them and they have a nanny and the kid goes to the park every day and has this awesome life. Then they have another kid. And you're thinking, well, that's the end of that deal. Well, no, they were just like, fuck it. We're taking 2 kids on the road. And they've managed to keep doing that. And you watch it and it's working and it's great. And it's just so cool that you guys were able to come up with this idea and this dream that you guys had had as a younger couple. And then now as parents, just to go and do it. So what did the trip actually entail? I mean, you say you got on a flight. Where did you go and how long were you there? Then where did you go after that and kind of a thing?
Let me tell you, from that moment in the kitchen, it was so exciting. We woke up the next day and it's so funny when you make a decision to do something that's huge. Basically, the trip started the next day because your mindset has already flipped into, okay, how are we going to pull this off? Where are we going to go? So the next few months was just so exciting. Okay, we got to stage the house. We have to figure out where to do with a lot of our possessions. Do we even need this shit? Where should we put it? Who should we give it to? And where do we want to go? What is the climate going to be like in each of these places around the world that we each want to see? And how can we line it all up? And which flight should we book? It was really exciting. And we just sort of, we picked where we each wanted to really go.
Yeah.
That was rational. We were somewhat rational.
Okay.
Like we really wanted to go to South America, but we thought, okay, with the kids, traveling through South America isn't going to be maybe as safe or as easy as we would like right now.
Yeah.
They should be a bit older. Anyway, India was the same thing. I feel like 1 and 4 year old, that's just going to be a little tough through India.
Mm-hmm.
So we just picked some of our favorite spots and thought, okay, let's start piecing these together. And to make the trip kind of real, we were like, let's book the first flight. Let's book the first little spot we're going to stay. Let's decide on the first 3 countries that we're going to go to. And then from there, we'll kind of wing it, you know.
So when you left, you knew where you're going, but did you know how long you're staying there?
We didn't. So I was like, okay, Holland is a good place to start for me because I have a management kind of thing in Holland as well. I just have a small fan base in Holland and I'm starting to grow in Europe. So, okay, my manager's there. I can do a few writing sessions. Like maybe there's a little bit of way to make music and family work there for a few weeks. So that was perfect. It was like a night. Okay, we're out of the U.S. Okay, this is easy. Let's figure out where we want to go next. Okay, I have a connection.
Wait, you're in Holland. So where do you stay? You get an Airbnb or you get...
We got an Airbnb. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So you got...
We did about...
And you hunker down for a couple of weeks, you know, and that's just home for... So you can go out and work a few hours. Y'all can go out and see some stuff. Go out and, you know, I guess you're Airbnb and you're trying to do this on a budget. So you guys are like trying to grocery shop. And like, cook.
Totally. Yeah. That is our whole trip around the world was grocery stores.
Yeah.
It was very few restaurants. And my wife and I joked that, you know, later on we want to travel and we can't wait to just eat around the world.
Yeah. Let somebody else do it.
And order cocktails and sit there in restaurants outdoors. We couldn't do that. I mean, we're on a tight budget and kids are picky as hell anyway, so you're literally just in grocery stores looking for the pickiest stuff.
Anything they can eat, but it's not like they just have the frozen chicken nuggets in every country, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, okay, so I didn't mean to cut you off. So Holland, you guys go there a couple weeks. This is sounding awesome, by the way. We love Holland. We absolutely love it. That's one of our
favorite. Isn't it awesome?
It's one of our favorite spots. I actually just got to go back on an acoustic tour, and I was reminded of how much I liked it and how much we all used to like it when we'd go. Hey, we got to take a quick break. Can you hang with us for a little while longer? Because I want to talk about this a little bit longer, and then we got to talk about music at some point. So
I know.
All right, y'all.
Of course, I'm here.
Y'all hang out. We'll be right back with more Rockstar Dad Show right after these words.
Now more than ever, it's important to keep your entire family's hands clean, but it's hard to find a good hand sanitizer that doesn't dry your hands out or is loaded with chemicals. Well, it's time you check out Pipette. Pipette's antimicrobial hand sanitizer contains 65% ethyl alcohol, which exceeds the CDC's recommendation of 60% for effectiveness. Pipette's hand sanitizer kills 99.99% of germs without drying out your hands, and it's a safe, healthy solution for the whole family. Of course, every parent wants what's best for their kids, and that includes using only the safest products on their delicate skin. While the FDA bans only 12 potentially harmful ingredients in skincare products, Pipette bans more than 2,000, ensuring its products are safe, effective, and use only non-toxic ingredients, making it safe for the whole family. This is why Pipette is quickly becoming a consumer favorite for its ultra-gentle baby lotions, oils, and cleansers. And right now, you can score 25% off its entire collection of personal care items. Go to www.pipettebaby.com and get 25% off with promo code ROCKSTARDAD. That's PIPETTEBABY.com and get 25% off with promo code ROCKSTAR.
Welcome back to the Rockstar Dad Show right here on Adobe Radio. And we are talking to Brendan James, who, musician, been around a while, been around the block with the whole label game and all of that stuff. And then he just sold all of his shit and took two kids and his wife around the world. So when we took our break, we were in Holland, and me and Gary are both going, okay, where the fuck are they going next? What happened next?
Okay, so we just kind of routed this trip around the world based on where we wanted to see, based on a few things that were safe and made sense for the kids. So we went from Holland to England to France.
Yeah.
And it obviously made sense to go down to Italy. Now, what also guided us was, and this I have to say was like one of the crowning achievements of my whole career, was putting this trip out on Facebook before we left, like 2 months before we left. I just put it out to all my fans and I said, hey, I'm going to do this. If anybody has any recommendations or whatever, you know, just comment. And I got so many comments from around the world of people who've been listening to my music that I didn't even know existed. I'm sure you guys are the same way. You're like, holy shit, there's someone listening to me in Estonia right now.
And yeah.
Like Rwanda, like what the? And those people were like, hey, you should stay with me. Or hey, my aunt has a guest house you can stay in. Or hey, like in Italy, a fan and friend of mine in Dallas was like, actually, I know someone at Harding University. And Harding University has a satellite campus in Florence, and they have a guest house that they're not using for the whole summer. Your family should go there for free.
Whoa.
And I'm like, okay, we're going to Italy. You know, like, so that was how we picked certain places based on fans.
Yeah, that takes a trusting wife, by the way, because I know, like, I'm going to be honest. Yeah. Like, my wife is like, you know, you're going to a place and somebody's like, hey, yeah, we have a back house or whatever for you to stay. And that's like red flag for her. But for us, you know, it's like, shit, we don't care. Give us a floor to sleep on, you know, but
totally.
You guys trusting in that. And it, man, that sounds like a freaking crazy ride with just, I mean, so how long did you guys stay there in Florence?
We stayed for 3 weeks. Our goal was to try to stay in each place like at least 15 days, like 15 to 30 days. To just like, we weren't trying to sightsee and be tourists. We were trying to like dig in. And even if it meant just living on a little house in the countryside for a couple weeks and just going to two locations, I wanted to sort of immerse us into that kind of culture instead of just, let's go to the Hard Rock Cafe in Paris.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, anyway,
traveling's hard in the first place. Traveling with your family it's more difficult. And I mean, if you just went each place for 4 or 5 days, you'd just be getting settled in and rested. So you got to stay for a little bit longer.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. Super smart. I mean, it's and because, you know, quite frankly, kids, you know, most kids thrive on structure, you know, and so like to just keep uprooting and uprooting, that was super smart because you let them get settled and acclimated, and then hey, we're just going to move down. Now, were you flying everywhere or did you guys drive?
We went to Holland. We flew to Holland. By the way, those first flights were super cheap and that helped so much. It was like $780 to get our family of four to Holland.
Wow.
From New York. Total. I mean, Milo was one, so we didn't pay for his flight. So that's three flights for $780. Like, so we looked for those kind of flights and we, you know, flew to England because it was also cheaper than taking the boat that we were at, the ferry we were thinking about taking across. But then, yeah, drove, took trains, and then had to, we went to Iceland from Italy. No, from Spain, sorry. So Spain to Iceland obviously was a flight. Iceland to Rwanda was obviously a flight. That was a big change, Iceland to Rwanda.
Yeah, that sounds like a really big change, man.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that is like culturally completely different sides of the coin.
It sounds crazy to talk about it now.
Yeah.
But I swear it felt measured. It felt safe. It felt like we're going to take 3 weeks in each country. We're going to think about the next one. We're going to research it a bit, start to learn some of the language before we get there, just normal phrases. And then you just felt comforted because once you get to a country, you're like, we have several weeks here to just, and we don't, that's what I love about my wife. We didn't have to see anything. There was nothing, I swear, other than the Northern Lights. She didn't need to see any specific thing right around the whole world. And I didn't either. It was like, let's just be here and enjoy what we get to enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not what people picture. With when you say you take a trip around the world, you know, you most of the time that's right, just going to see all the shit that everybody else goes to see. Quite frankly, Gary and I know most of the time you're just like, okay, you know, that, well, we saw that, you know, whatever. But
yeah,
this trip to me sounds awesome because you allow yourself a few days where, you know, I mean, I'm sure you guys didn't do anything but just kind of sit around and just be, and that sounds great.
You know, if you ask my daughter to this day what her favorite place was, it was Rwanda. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because that sounds crazy to me based on what we were able to achieve in Rwanda was almost nothing. I mean, it was amazing. We were there for 16 days, 17 days, and we couldn't really go many places because of a lot of things you can imagine with a 1 and 4 year old. And all the excursions you can do were really expensive. So we ended up hanging out in this like compound of a hotel, this awesome place with an awesome staff, wonderful people. And my daughter loved that staff and the way she was treated by Rwandans. Mm. She remembered that more than anything else. It was such a cool lesson. And that's what we were hoping to give to her, was to actually meet real people and experience the world through people. So
yeah,
it was cool.
Super cool. Well, I don't want to beat you down on this thing. So I'll we'll switch gears here. You come back. How long are you guys gone?
I want to ask about the coming back, though. You left. You went from place to place to place to place. Yeah. How did getting home feel? I mean, you sold your home. You didn't have a home to come home to. Yeah. So how did you realize when you got home?
It felt weird. And we made the mistake. We came back to California where my wife's family is. And they took us in. You know, basically, we're like, oh, feed us, love us. We're travel weary. And it was awesome, but we did make the one mistake, which was going to Marin. We drove like 20 minutes just because we wanted it, like a bakery. We wanted like real, like just coffee and bakery that we just had been craving. And here we have just come back from this amazing trip and we're in Marin County in this coffee shop, which was like just so, it was just disgusting to us. All the customers were walking up to the counter like, ugh, my coffee's not right. Can you please redo this? And this bread is not how I pictured it. Can I have another one? And we're standing by the counter and we're just backing ourselves into a corner. Like, what the fuck is America in some ways? You know, just like we had not experienced that in so long. It was just culture shock.
Came right back to entitled fat people. Like,
came right back to it. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can only imagine. I mean, well, thank God you didn't go to New York. I mean, let's face facts. You guys would have probably fucking gotten back on a plane and got back out of here, you know?
That would have been pretty stimulating to just jump into Manhattan after being in Thailand, and New Zealand.
Right. So how long?
Yeah, it was crazy hard.
How long were you guys gone? And then follow up question. You know, that's I guess when you guys decided that, you know, Charleston, a simpler way of life was the place to go. But again, how long were you gone?
We were gone for 6 months.
Wow.
6 months. So we did 10 countries in 6 months. And honestly, we ran out of money. We were like, we weren't trying to go in debt or spend credit card money. So we just stopped. We were like, we're in New Zealand. And 4 days before we left, my daughter was like, you know what, Dad? I'm sick of adventuring. So we were like, how timely. Let's go home.
Well, absolutely perfect. And then, you know, quite frankly, fast forward to last February, March. And boy, is adventuring over. So now you've got these well-traveled kids who now you've, and now y'all have just been locked in the same house with each other, I'm sure, most of this time. How has that adjustment been? Or, you know, I mean, what can you tell me about the family with this whole COVID thing?
I don't think any of us will fully be able to describe what the hell has happened this year. Yeah. I mean, so many things come to my mind. And obviously, I want to joke about all the negative stuff because it's been hard as hell. And I can't believe that, you know, for a family that just traveled everywhere, we can't leave our freaking driveway. But yeah. I have to say to all the parents out there who I know are trying to find the silver linings, like my relationship, just to be honest, with my son before COVID felt a little bit like this like touring father relationship, if I'm honest. And like, I never pictured that. I didn't know how that happened, but it was like a dad who was gone 6 months a year. Mm. And like, I was close to my son, but there was times where I felt like, man, I need some real time with this little buddy. We need to bond. Like, and since March, we have like completely flipped and he does not leave my side. And I know him through and through. And I'm like, thank you, COVID, for that. Like, I'm not touring right now. I'm just his buddy every day. So there is that.
Yeah. What was before? Okay. So you guys have gotten home. You're getting back into this thing. You're working. You know, we always ask our dads on here. By the way, we're speaking to Brendan James right now on the Rockstar Dad Show on Adobe Radio, wherever you listen to podcasts. And so what kind of touring schedule do you try to keep with the family? And I'll just say for us, you know, we try to go out for 10 days, maximum of 2 weeks, but we really try to hit that 10 day mark and then go home for 6 weeks. You know, how do you break it up?
That's been the, you know, challenge of my last 6 years to figure that out. Right now, I'm actually similar to you guys. I've found that the 10, 12 day thing is a great window. Mm. It's enough time. My favorite is like an 18 day window where, and my wife knows like 18 is kind of our max right now. But if I do 18 days, I can get into like performer guy and just get into that nice flow where you're walking on stage and you feel like you're in a total traveling groove.
Yeah.
And she knows I still like to achieve that persona. You know what I'm talking
sure,
about?
Absolutely.
But 18, 20 days is when the family just does lose a tangible bond. Mm. And you got to go home quick and spend weeks, if not months, to get that bond, you know, tight again.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's interesting that you actually see it that way. I mean, most people don't actually say the words, but that's a really, really good perspective because you're spot on. And I think with different families, it's different, you know, and we all have our different struggles. I mean,
yeah.
Gary's wife is a nurse, but she works nights. And so touring for him is the fucking worst because, you know, she's got this crazy schedule and his mom is there to help, but, you know, she's older and, you know, Gary, I'll let you speak to that.
A lot more logistics whenever she's working night, so you don't just need someone to pick the kids up from school or daycare. It's like there's 24 hours that we got to figure out.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That's through the night. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game. But, you know, like I said, I mean, everybody's got their own things. I mean, my two older kids lived the life of me being gone for a month, 6 weeks, you know, at a time. And we were able to continue, our relationship is great. And then my 8-year-old knows the same life as Gary's kids, you know, where I'm only gone a certain amount of time and we have our thing. But yeah, I really like the way you put that. You know, you got to come home and kind of get all that back. We call, you know, what, when I'm actually super interested in this. We like to ask about reentry. So you say, you know, you're gone 18 days and you're really getting into that vibe, that performer vibe. When you come home, what are those first couple of days like?
My family is fully aware of the reentry. We've talked about it at length. Dad is a mess for at least 48 hours, but he's going to try. He has to shift his brain. My wife always likes to make fun of me. Like the next day after tour, she'll always be like, I know there's no one clapping for you while you make breakfast. I just want to tell you that we do love you, but we're not going to clap. We don't care.
My God, that is amazing.
You're like, we're real in my house. But she's amazing. And she does know it's going to take a few days to reenter. Yeah. And that's what it's so impossible to describe to people. Because then a couple days in, I want to kick ass and I want to be awesome dad. But like, it is opposite worlds. It is such... It's such opposite disciplines. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's opposite. It's different for everybody. I'm not saying every different musician. I mean, you're coming home tired because you've been on the road and you're exhausted.
Yeah.
But they're home and they're tired because you haven't been there to help. And so, I mean, everyone has to be understanding of each other's situation.
Yeah,
totally.
We definitely have talked to dads that they come off the road and we're speaking, you know, more specifically of musicians, where they get off the road and the wife is just like, here are the kids, you know, like I'm going to go get a pedicure and, you know, which again, I understand. I get it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my wife is similar to yours in that it's like, okay, I know you're going to be a little on edge. You know, I'm not going to give you any shit about this or this or this yet, you know? And then, you know, she kind of tips her toe in the water. Couple of days after I'm home, and then she can tell me all the shit that's wrong that I need to fix around here, you know? And we dive in and we make it through, you know? It's so funny because it's such a process for everybody, no matter what genre of music you're in, no matter how much you drink on the road or whatever, you know, whatever your shit is. I mean, we still act like we're 18. So most of the time we come home, we're just hungover for 2 days, but you know, and you know,
I've been there many times.
Yeah. And so, you know, but it is a very interesting place to be. All right. So let's talk about music. Cause we have certainly kept you a long time. Now you got, tell us what's going on. So, I'm seeing that, Leap Taken, which sounds like kind of inspired by the leap that you took with your family, is the name of the album.
Totally. Just dropped an album October 22nd. And I released 4 singles leading up to it. I'm really proud of it. Co-produced it with my friend, Craig Meyer, who's just been a drummer, a longtime friend, and now we're just producing together, which feels great. And my fans are just totally digging this album. I've gotten more press related to this album than I ever have before, so I think critics are liking it. So it feels really good. It just feels funny, to be honest, like this caveat, like, but I'm in the middle of COVID trying to release an exciting album. It's kind of hilarious.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Did you, obviously inspired by your trip, did you write it while you're on your trip or did you come home and then put it all together?
Dudes, I know you're musicians. You'll totally love this. My favorite thing about the trip was I took this laptop that's in front of me right now, just a little MacBook Pro. You on GarageBand, you can play the keys as a little keyboard.
I mean,
you can't do anything fancy, but you can play bass lines, you can play drum parts, you can play piano. And there I was with like tons of time. The family would go to bed at 9:30 and I'd just sit up from 9:30 to 1 in whatever country, drinking whatever bourbon or wine I could, you know, that was around. And I'd just be writing songs on my laptop. So after 6 months, I did have a shitload of material. So let's make an album, you know?
Yeah, I love it.
Got home and hit the ground running.
Yeah,
just got home and played it for my friend Craig. He was like, this is amazing stuff. This is like, let's do this.
Yeah, it's nice when you get out of that comfort zone of whatever it is you write and you just go somewhere and, you know, like I often just want to go get a house on a, you know, somewhere near water and just see what happens if I just sit there and write songs every day, you know, because I've got to do that someday. I've got to do it, especially because fart joke songs can't be written in this room. No, I'm just kidding. I write plenty of them.
No.
All right. Tell everybody where they can find you on the internets and where they can go listen to this music that you've just put out.
Yeah, I just send everybody to Instagram these days. Yeah. If you can follow me at BrendanJames_music, that'd be awesome. And the music is all over all the streaming platforms already. And I'm really proud of it. It's called Leap Taken.
Leap Taken, Brendan James. Dude, man, what a pleasure. I'm really glad we got to talk to you today. What a great story. I'd love it if, you know, both of us would love it if you'd check back in with us, you know, in a year or two. And when the kids are growing up a little bit and we're starting school, love to see how you guys are adjusting out there.
I'd love to come back. I love your show, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. All right, dude. Take care, man. And and good luck. And hopefully we get to play shows again soon.
Won't that be nice?
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Rockstar Dad Show right after this.
Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Let's face it, in the year 2020, who can answer no to that? Well, now there's affordable, private online counseling at BetterHelp. When you sign up with BetterHelp, they'll assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. I signed up for BetterHelp about a year ago, and I'd never done any kind of counseling before, so I was a little anxious about how the first meeting would go. Well, their sign-up process, their onboarding process is super easy, and that first appointment that I had was comfortable, and actually, I felt a pretty big sense of relief after the first appointment. One of the best parts about it is you can do it from the comfort of your home or office. You don't have to drive across town, sit in a waiting room. You can schedule the appointment and do it from your computer or phone anywhere. This means the service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor, and you'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. So it's not only more convenient than traditional offline counseling, but it's also more affordable, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit BetterHelp.com/rockstardad. That's Better H-E-L-P, and join over the million people who have taken charge of their mental health with help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer for the Rockstar Dad Show listeners: get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/rockstardad.
Welcome back to the Rockstar Dad Show right here on Adobe Radio. Listen, I just want to point out that the show is starting to get some sponsors. It is a great help to the show if you would support those sponsors. And honestly, we approve all of them and stand behind what they're doing and try to offer you guys some good deals. So if you have the means or the desire, please check those out. Gary, Brendan was great. That was awesome to have him on.
Yeah, man, that was a fun convo. I can't imagine taking kids around the world.
No, I'm gonna be honest, it's hard enough to take them on Disney cruises back when cruises existed, and those are catered specifically to them.
Yeah. You know, we always talk, like, whenever we're traveling with the band, it's like we've got our going through airports just down pat. We all know exactly what to do. And so going on a trip with even just the wife or if the kids, it just, everything's out of whack, right? Yeah. And like you said, just going on a vacation, the travel's harder. I can't imagine going from country to country to country, having to carry all your gear for, you know, kids' strollers, this and that. Wow.
It's a lot. Man, I can't believe it's getting so close to the holidays already. I mean, I know the holidays are going to be different for everybody this year. I mean, we're already kind of doing the cancel. They've canceled Thanksgiving, and it's obvious that Christmas is probably going to get canceled as well. You know, not, you know, it's just as far as, you know, getting together with the family and all of that. But coming up in a in an upcoming episode, we're going to do a buyer's guide, what you should get your dad or husband
or us,
whatever you would like to send our way. Our Amazon wish list is at. So anyway, stay tuned for those. Well, how's life over there? We did this show a little differently because We started with the interview. We normally don't do that. And here we are on the outskirts of this episode, and you and I haven't even caught up.
Yeah, the times are a-changing, man.
Yeah, they are.
So Tyler and Mia are awesome. Everyone's doing good over here. But Mia's getting to the age where she's starting to pester him a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's not on board with that. Now, he's still protective and overlooking, you know, like he wants to take care of her. But he definitely needs some space. And whenever she's pestering him, he'll start pestering her back.
Right.
And I don't know where this came from, but we've got a bunch of balloons. I think like her school or something sent balloons home. And so whenever he wants to pester her, he just picks up a balloon. And she immediately, "That's mine!" and starts freaking out, and he won't let her play with it.
Right.
So the other day, they kind of started, not roughhousing, because he's too old to roughhouse with her, but like, you know, roughhousing as much as a almost 10-year-old and a 3-year-old can. And this goes back to what you always say, is like, it's different with girls, right?
Yeah.
So Tyler's kind of roughhousing with her, and she's screaming, and I'm like, dude, you got to stop. Just, I don't care if it's her or if it's you, you're the older one, you need to stop. I go, here's what's going to happen. Either she's going to hurt you and that's going to suck, or you're going to hurt her and then you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to lose no matter what.
There you go. Yeah, man. So, good advice. Yeah. You know, anyway,
you're doing good.
Yeah. I guess when you have a kid, he's that much older than her, and you kind of just can't do they'll work it out. you know,
I mean, for the most part, I do. A lot of the time, and yeah, it's like, you got something like, they'll figure it out. That's fine. But like, you know, every now and then it's too much. It's overwhelming. They're screaming. They're, you know, I'm just like, not now, you know?
Yeah.
So I interject every now and then.
My kids are good. They, Emma is, again, we're doing these college applications, and it's funny, you know, we need to get this shit done, but she's busy. And it's like every time I'm like, hey, you want to come over on such and, well, that's such and such's birthday. What about this day? Well, I've got a thing over here at this day. And like, the deadline is approaching. We're like 2 weeks away. We've got to get this shit going.
I remember being that age, though. I mean, every day is something.
100%.
Right?
Yeah. Again, that's why I do not pressure. You know, again, I realize I handle my 50-50 custody a lot different than a lot of other dads who would have fought for that and gotten it. But, you know, we live in a different part of the city, and I don't force them to come here. I mean, they're 15 and 17, man. It's like, you know, 14 and 17, almost 15 and 18. And it's like, you know, man, live your life. That's what I did. And, you know, just know that I'm here. And whenever you want to come here, here I am. And you're always welcome here. But, you know, you don't have to miss Owen's birthday. I mean, it's just, you know, whatever. Fucking go to Owen's party. You know,
forcing them to be there to me, it's just such a losing idea. I mean, whenever my parents split up, my dad every now and then would force me to come for the weekend. And, you know, I was probably like 12, 13, something like that, old enough to like want to be in my normal situation, go see friends or whatever. And because it was his weekend, I couldn't.
Right.
But then I'd be like sitting at his house with nothing to do. Like, he wasn't taking me to do anything. And I was just mad the whole time, and it sucked.
Yeah.
But, you know, your kids are older. Like, okay, A, that's a bad idea to force the kids to do that. But being older, like, what are you going to – you're forcing them to sleep at your house because they're teenagers. 100. They're not going to be home anyways.
You're saying it that's so perfect, because you're right. It's like, by the time I would get Jack here, it'd be 5 o'clock, because their school lets out at like 4:40 now. It's crazy. And 5:15, it's like, okay, we have some dinner. It gets dark at 6. It's not like we can go out and play basketball, you know?
Right.
It's like, you know, so, dude, if you want to hang with your friends, hang with your friends. You know, it is.
Right.
I mean, I was in a band when I was 13, and everybody that I was in a band with could drive. I was never home again, ever. That was the end of that shit. I was like, are you going to be home for dinner? No, not ever again. I will never be here again.
I'll be home for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, that one I'll be here for. Anything involving presents or turkey, I'll be around. The rest of that shit, I'm not going to be. You don't even need to make it. You know, it's fine. I think that's when my dad had to start making his own meals, because my mom was just like, I'm not fucking cooking for just you. you know? And
that's why I was so pissed whenever he got home at 9 o'clock from selling cars, because then he had to make some dinner. It's all your fault, you little shit.
Yeah, god damn it, man. Music. Well, this has been a great episode, man. It's good to see you. We will be back next week. We have some real doozies coming up. I hope you guys listened to the Gary Shirley episode last week. You know, as I said, I'm a big fan of Teen Mom. I love that show so much. And it was so cool to be able to catch up with him. And that reminds me, I need to send him promo materials. So anyway, we will be around next week. Same times, same place. Y'all be good.
This is a song for my friends Jared and Gary. They started a podcast and said a theme was necessary. They're just a couple of guys in a band that you know. Some rock star dads who started a show. Until the next episode.